It's here and now. Queen Elizabeth saw her new great-grandson today. If you haven't heard, his name is George Alexander Louis. There goes the office pool. Anyway, the Queen made the short trip from Buckingham to Kensington Palace to visit the two-day-old Prince of Cambridge, third in line to the throne she now occupies. The infant prince will, of course, lead a life of privilege, but also one of formal duty and protocol, just as his great-grandmother has, as the BBC's Nicola Stanbridge reports.
The last three generations of the royal family have given interviews early on in life, offering a little insight into their childhoods. In 1940, Princess Elizabeth revealed her sense of duty, confidence and responsibility, aged just 14.
This is the BBC Home Service. Hello, children everywhere.
In wishing you all good evening, I feel that I am speaking to friends and companions who have shared with my sister and myself many a happy children's hour. Thousands of you in this country have had to leave your homes and be separated from your fathers and mothers. My sister Margaret Rose and I feel so much for you, as we know from experience what it means to be away from those we love most of all.
The Queen spent much of her wartime childhood in Windsor, where we visited her first cousin and friend, Margaret Rhodes.
The King and Queen at that stage were going round the country. Therefore, the children were bereft of parents for the whole of the inside of a week, even if they had them perhaps at weekends.
You had the same nanny, Clara Knight, as the Queen for a while. What would that have been like in terms of discipline and a stabilising force for the Queen?
Well, Ala, as she was known, she was a cornerstone of a really well-run nursery, a partner in fun as well as being a strict disciplinarian.
Is there an equivalent of a royal naughty step? How far could punishment go?
No, I don't honestly remember anything particular in that line. I mean, I think in those days, if there was the smallest reprimand from somebody one loved, like Ala the nanny, we were a very obedient lot. We did what we were told.
Princess Elizabeth was also brought up at a time when childcare was very formal.
Author and childcare historian Christina Hardiment.
This was the era of Truby King and Mothercraft. Children should certainly be seen, not heard, and you cried outside in your pram and it was good for exercise. Elizabeth was the last of the royals not to go to school. Crawfee, who came when she was only 5 years old, was her governess. She remained a tremendous background, solid figure.
Prince Charles was the first heir to the throne to go to school rather than have a private tutor, even spending two terms in Australia.
Timbertop School, an upcountry department of Geelong Grammar School, will have Prince Charles as a pupil this summer. At London Airport, the heir to the throne prepared to say goodbye to Britain for a few months. The Duke of Edinburgh and Princess Anne saw him off.
In 1969, aged 20, Prince Charles talked about his schooling to Jack DeManio on the Today programme.
It was a very sad moment, of course, leaving England and seeing one's father and sister standing on the tarmac and waving one goodbye.
What sort of life was it, though? What did you have to do?
It was a very rigorous life. It was tougher than Gordonson. You had to go on expeditions every weekend into the bush, and you had two cross countries a week. The first ones I had when I got there were absolutely horrifying. I mean, it was 90 degrees in the shade and flies everywhere. And you sort of ran around amongst the kangaroos and things, dust, everything.
Prince Charles appears close to his sons. In 1984, Prince William's first words in public are heard just before his second birthday at Kensington Palace.
The fashionable baby care book of the time was the continuum complex. The idea is that the child is literally strapped to the mother all the time. Diana wanted to spend lots of time with them, and so, she says herself, did Charles, and he used to rush home and bottle feed the children, and the children were very close to him and very fond of him.
Both Christina Hardiment and Margaret Rhodes urge caution moving away from the traditional stability of a nanny and nursery.
Well, I think now parents tend to look upon having a well-run nursery as the mother being too remote from the child. But for a mother who, and father, whatever kind of duty they do, it's obviously essential, because one of the things that I think a lot of people slightly criticised the Queen for going off on trips abroad, which in those 1950 days usually meant actually almost away for up to 6 months. So therefore she was away from her very small children for quite a long time, which must actually have been rather agony for her. Again, the word duty superseded the mother's love. Therefore, it was absolutely vital to have a constant, organised, you know, within a framework, for the child to grow up in feeling secure and safe, even if without their parents for a certain amount of time.
William went with Diana and Charles when they went off for 6 months, and he was only 1 year old. And it certainly sounds as if William and Kate have every intention of giving their children as normal a childhood as possible, hoping to have less nannies, but I think they might well find out that the tried and tested idea of having a nanny and a spare, as it were, is quite a good idea. Very wise, not flamboyantly extravagant.
That report from the BBC's Nicola Stanbridge.